Humility. Humility is not a popular virtue in the modern world. If you go for a job interview, essentially you're supposed to boast about what you've achieved. It's seen as a virtue, and you can see the reason for it, because if you don't tell people how brilliant you are, who will? Nevertheless, boasting in itself is not a Christian virtue. In a work situation, there is a fine line between boasting and trampling over other people to get ahead. And there is the constant temptation to attribute to yourself achievements that by rights belong to someone else. But outside of work situations, as Christians, what should be our attitude? St. Paul tells us in his letter to the Philippians, chapter 2, "Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourself, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of the others. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus." And what is that mindset? Jesus was God and humbled himself to become a man. He lowered himself and eventually submitted humbly to injustice, torture, and death. He allowed himself to be treated as a criminal and accepted a criminal's fate without telling his murderers about his true exalted status and his true identity as Lord of the universe. The book of Proverbs is full of advice about humility. For example, Proverbs 3:34, "He mocks proud mockers but shows favour to the humble and oppressed." Proverbs 11:2, "When pride comes, then comes disgrace, but with humility comes wisdom." Proverbs 18:12, "Before a downfall, the heart is haughty, but humility comes before honour." Sometimes pride is obvious, like when someone is blowing their own trumpet. But there can also be false humility, which is sometimes more subtle, like when we quietly shift the conversation to a topic where we know people are going to comment favourably on our actions or praise us for something we said. We can then graciously refuse any adulation with a self-deprecating shake of the head while being secretly pleased at the attention we're getting. Perhaps that's not a particularly serious form of pride, but it does show us that sometimes we are more interested in the opinions of others than of what God thinks of us. And according to sacred scripture, it's that God-centred focus that is the key to humility. St. Paul's advice in chapter 12 of his letter to the Romans is, "Do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment, in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you." The key to humility is to take our identity from our status as God's sons and daughters, rather than what other people think of us. God wants us to realise that everything good that we have, every blessing, attribute, fruitful relationship, and all that we have and are, come from Him. That knowledge should humble us. If there is anything admirable about us, it is only ours through God's mercy and provision. We can claim no merit to ourselves. St. Francis de Sales goes further. He advises us to take pleasure in what to the world seems to be humiliation, to rejoice in our lowly state and to joyfully accept the suffering of being disdained by others. He does, of course, say that we should do whatever is reasonably within our means to avoid a bad reputation, but he also urges us to bear patiently and even happily whatever humiliations come our way. This is not the way of the world, but it is a key to progressing in the spiritual life. St. Bernard of Clairvaux also reminds us that humiliation does not automatically produce humility. He says, "It is the possession of a joyful and genuine humility that alone enables us to receive grace. It is not sufficient that one keep his self-possession by patience when he is humbled. To receive grace, one must embrace humiliation willingly. It must be free of compulsion or sadness." Sometimes it can be difficult to maintain a humble attitude when we consider our good deeds. In fact, if we're serious about the spiritual life, sometimes the fear of becoming proud might be a deterrent to our carrying out works of charity. But it's worth remembering that we are in a spiritual battle, and the devil will tempt us with numerous lies of this kind to stop us from leading an effective and fruitful Christian life. It's impossible to maintain a humble attitude while we are focused only on ourselves and what others may think of us. The danger is that either we become frustrated by our own pride, or we overcompensate by being so lowly that we lose self-confidence when relating to others, just in case we commit sins of pride. An antidote to this difficulty is to focus not so much on how we are relating to others, but on how we are relating to God. He is the one who defines who we really are, and if we begin to rely more and more on what he thinks of us, we also begin to enter into freedom, without trying to compel ourselves to act in what appear to be humble ways, but are in fact artificial modes of behaviour. And who does God tell us that we are? He tells us that we are beloved sons and daughters. But that in itself is not a source of pride. Our sonship and daughterhood themselves are pure gift. We are adopted children of the Father because of Jesus' sacrifice on the cross, not because of any merit of ours. So even the fact that we have real exalted status as offspring of the Master of the universe is a cause for humility. This is the truth that Jesus talks about that will set us free, free to lead the vibrant life of the Holy Spirit that he wants for us. When we focus on growing in our relationship with God through constantly pursuing a life of prayer, that's when the Lord gives us the grace to be humble, because we realise who we truly are in relation to him and who we are not. Our humility, just like all virtues, comes about as a result of grace plus our own efforts. One of the main ways in which we can employ our efforts in the virtue of humility and make sure that we consider others of greater value than ourselves is through service. Service is the way that Jesus has taught us to love our neighbour. Remember when he washed the feet of his disciples, he said, "You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that is what I am. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you." If Jesus, the only person who conceivably has the right to lord it over other people, humbles himself to serve, then all the more should we strive to humble ourselves and serve our neighbour. And that service should be done in such a way that we don't draw attention to the fact. Our attitude in our charitable works should be exactly what Jesus advises when he says, "So you also, when you have done everything you were told to do, should say, 'We are unworthy servants, we have only done our duty.'" Let's pray and ask the Lord for the grace of the virtue of humility. Lord Jesus, you humbled yourself by becoming a man to serve and not to be served. Help us to follow your example in our love for one another. Give us the grace to live a life of humility and service, just as you did, and by doing so to step into our true identity as beloved sons and daughters of the Father. Amen.